Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for doing the wonderful things you're doing in the world, Lord. You're working to bring this country back to us, to some semblance of sanity. The church, too, Lord. The factions are being destroyed, but you are going to be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have very, very interesting revelation here to share with you, or revelations to share with you. We're going to continue with the faction election war one. This is number four. The first one I'm going to share with you is the last battle has begun. That was given to Clara Pinar on December the 2nd of this 2020. I dreamed I was in an open-air stadium high up in the air. And we believe this because of the rest of the revelation, that this is speaking about being in heavenly places in Christ. When judgment is coming, this is where you need to be, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? Myself, together with a multitude of people, were busy filing into our seats to watch something on the stadium's field below. Well, the field is the world. From heavenly places, this is being viewed by people who are in safety. And we'll be blessed in the days to come. I was not aware of who all these people were, as I saw no faces. We were moving along in an orderly fashion, shuffling to our seats that were four thin wooden planks painted white. These were like wooden bleachers to watch obviously a game of some kind that's going on the earth. I noticed that my own clothing looked very dazzling with a gold shine. And this reminds me of Psalm 45 and 9. King's daughters are among thy honorable women, and at thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir. And I do believe that this is a representation of the bride who is above the judgment, as in the book of Esther. Then I noticed the jewel-encrusted garments of these people around me. Could it be that the others who were with me in the stadium with all the jewels were actually manifesting the aragazo, the possession of God, and that's why they looked so bejeweled? Well, I believe that the bride will be in heavenly places in Christ when judgment falls. The wood, hay, and the stubble is gone. The precious stones are their works in the Lord, right? She said, as I sat down, a huge lion came up to my face, kind of nuzzled me somewhat affectionately, and then he said, the last battle has begun. Yes. I was shocked by the size of the lion, but not scared. I could feel his breath and whiskers so close to my skin. I think the size has to do with it being a corporate body inhabited by the Lord himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? In a flash, he was down on the field. And I believe the Lord in his man-child body has come to earth and entered the battle at this particular time of this revelation. Okay. Massive and beautiful and powerful he was. He walked slowly to the middle of the field from the left side, and then he lifted his front paw up and swatted these little black-winged creatures away. It took no effort from him. It reminded me of how a house cat plays with sparrows before it kills them, or a mouse. The black-winged creatures looked a bit like crows, and they were no match for the lion. They were thrown straight out of the stadium. Yep, the demon-possessed enemy is being taken down in this revelation. The dream reminded me of the Chronicles of Narnia, The Last Battle. Incidentally, Rian had started reading the book to the children for nighttime, read aloud time, but I wasn't paying attention to the reading the night of this dream. And that morning, my daily verse by faith at random was 1 Corinthians 15:48 and 49. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. And I also received Ezekiel 47 and 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. This I received as a type of this up, and I think it serves as a confirmation of being in the heavenlies in this dream. Yeah. Okay, so the last battle, huh? Is it the last battle to conquer the faction? Yeah, could be. I think things are turning that way very quickly. And then we got this here from Eve Brast, and we called it 14 days left to get cleaned up. So Eve Brast got this on 12/7/20. And my first note is a judgment from the leftist deep state is coming. Will you be ready to escape it? Here is a list of examples of those in the larger UBM body who will not escape without repentance. And Eve put a note here. She said, and it's true, I've seen this so many times, the Lord tends to exaggerate things and conditions in dreams to get our attention and also to let us know how ugly or repulsive things appear to him and in the spirit realm. True, true. He does that. So she said, I dreamed that I walked into a house. I saw that the countertops were covered in bags of snack, chips, and junk food. Well, this could be a problem for people, but people are feeding on things that have no eternal value and will not bring Christ in you as the Word does, right? And this, I mean, people get caught up in politics quite a lot now. And they're studying this, and they're not studying, putting the Word in their heart. This is very dangerous. The Lord has warned us against this, and I'm warning you now. This is not going to get it. The Lord is not happy about that at all. And going on, she said, the house seemed much bigger on the inside than it appeared to be from the outside. And she put a note there representing the house of a larger body of people. Yes, I believe that we're probably talking to larger UBM here. Okay. I saw a young woman there that was struggling. These are types of people who will not escape. And I saw a young woman there that was struggling with gender identity issues and feelings of masculinity and wishing or wanting to be male instead of female, and at the same time she had a disdain for men. And Eve's note is representing a spirit of Jezebel lusting after the position of a man in leadership. Yep, God does not permit it. His word says so. Repent. Repent and get prayed for, because that spirit there has turned many to all kinds of debauchery. As I looked around the house, other people began trickling in for the meeting. And again, we think this is the larger house. Coming to the meeting is like coming to our broadcast, you know. I went over to the husband's office area where his wife and a few others were gathered. He was a hard worker, but their house was falling apart. It's being a spiritual house here, I believe, not a physical house necessarily. And in severe disrepair, and they had no running water. Well, we have to keep up our house, our household, in other words. And she put, the living waters of the word were stagnating and not flowing for cleansing. Yes, amen. Get into the word. Love the word. Love repentance. Ask God for correction. Ask him between now and when this is fulfilled, okay? His wife was in a constant state of confusion and indecisiveness and very fretful. She was never sure of what decisions to make, and when people would ask her a question, she would fumble around in her words, not really knowing what to do or to say. This made her very dysfunctional and ineffective on many levels. Spirits of insecurity and confusion that paralyze people spiritually and keep them from being effective for the kingdom. Yes, and you know, sometimes unforgiveness causes the father to turn one over to the tormentors, as in Matthew 18:34-35, if a person doesn't forgive from the heart. Make sure you have forgiven everyone from the heart. You cannot escape judgment if you don't do that. You can't escape the curse if you don't do that. As I sat down on the opposite side of the computer desk that had an old, dingy, white computer monitor from the 90s sitting on it, I set my car keys on the desktop, and as I did, one of my keys made a tiny scratch on the surface finish. Someone in the group pointed out, in a very concerned manner, that my key had scratched his desktop. I apologized for the scratch, but the individual began making a big deal out of it and saying, this desk is very important to him, referring to the husband, and that it was a cherished possession of his. And of course, I can already smell it. It's faction spirits, unforgiveness, cause this kind of distortion and straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, for which they are famous. I thought this was being blown out of proportion, since the desk was full of scratches already, and in fact the desktop was made of particle board, and the whole left end, about a foot and a half of it, was crumbling into pieces and falling to the floor. So that really does make the complaint so trivial, right? Someone conferred with the wife about the scratch, and she was distraught and at the questioning and didn't know what to say. She just looked around frantically, wanting to get away from the attention that had been suddenly placed upon her. You know, fear of rejection can cause that kind of thing. Fear of rejection is one of the major demons that opens people up to faction. And we've seen them go one after another like that. It's an unforgiveness that causes it. The place of studying the word was neglected and causing the house to fall apart. That was her note. Yep, it seems very clear. Then someone exclaimed that a couple had arrived to the meeting. The husband was very sick, and some of the men were helping to carry him inside on a sort of sick bed or cot or stretcher with four wooden handles. Reminds you of the guy that was brought to Jesus' teaching and had to let down through the roof, right? He was covered with some dirty blankets. His wife had a crazed, wild look in her eyes and was carrying a jar full of peanut butter flavored frosting, which she spoon-fed to her husband at regular intervals. This is all the wife would feed him, and I knew this was why he was so sick. Well, I think that some bodies only want to feed their people on the sweet, ear-tickling doctrines of demons. And they go round and round in a circle, making sure they don't get on anybody's toes, you know. And we certainly don't want to stop the ties. But there are people out there in our body, in the larger body, that have problems like this. The wife seemed delusional and suspicious and would follow people and spy on them and then jump out and accuse them loudly to others with false accusations and threaten to go tell David what she had seen. But the things she saw were out of her own vain and delusional imaginations. Yes, that's what happens when demons come in. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. And I tell you, these people never obey the rules that Jesus laid down to keep peace between the brethren and to show the love of God and to show the faith that you have for the brethren who are fallen and such things as that. There is no fruit showing in these people that get invaded with these demons. She said, I had gotten up from the desk area to go use the bathroom, and the delusional woman caught sight of me and stalked over to the bathroom. She then hid in a darkened area of the hallway, waiting to ambush me on my way out of the bathroom. As I was in the bathroom, I saw a stainless steel toilet that looked sturdy and modern with a push-button flushing system. But it was full of waste because no one had flushed it in a while. Of course, that's a spiritual problem when people don't get rid of sin, don't repent and overcome sin. Paul talked about his past life as dung, you know. He wanted to leave it behind, which is what you're supposed to do, using that word carefully. I had to be very careful pushing the flushing button because it, too, was surrounded by waste. Yeah. Well, the waste of our life must be left behind and flushed and not carried around with us. That's what repentance does. Godly sorrow works repentance. A change of mind. We won't have this anymore, right? If you're keeping it, there's no godly sorrow. Once I pushed it, and it didn't flush. And I remembered that the house had no running water. And her note is, the ability to cleanse our house depends on the living waters of the Word. In the Old Testament, by the way, living waters were running waters. They were moving waters. They weren't stagnant waters, right? I went over to the bathroom sink, which was made of a thin, gray, flimsy plastic, and hoped enough water would trickle out for me to wash my hands. It was held to the wall with two rusty nails. Sound familiar? I prayed, and then just enough water came out of the tap so that I was at least able to clean my hands. Oh, that's good. Who shall ascend? Psalm 24:3-6. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. In other words, they are not walking with sin. The works, hands represent works, right? The works of sin, the works that are not complementary to the kingdom of God. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood. Some people want to believe what they believe because they see it as something that profits them or excuses them for their sin. So they, like they did to Trump and like they are doing to the man-childs, accuse them of doing what they are doing. And hath not sworn deceitfully. He that receiveth a blessing from the Lord, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, even Jacob. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, as I was opening the bathroom door, the crazed woman darted in front of me out of the shadows of the hallway and got up into my face and pointed her finger at me with a sour look and wild, suspicious eyes and began accusing me of things I had no idea about. You think this is strange? We've seen this happen. Then she said, "I'm going to tell David." And I asked her to please get out of my face and that I didn't care if she told David because I knew her accusations were false and that David would see the demons working through her to slander people. True. Yeah, that's just faction and witchcraft and slander, right? Psalm 35, 11-26. Unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. They, you know, you're supposed to have two or three witnesses of sin, and you're supposed to go to your brother first without bringing it to the church first. All these rules that the Lord cuffs. So you can straighten things out. People don't want to straighten things out. They want to be better than you, and they want to accuse you to make them look better or to excuse their evil sin. Right? They reward me evil for good. And, of course, the Lord said that evil would not depart from their house for doing this, right? To the bereaving of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. In other words, the Lord didn't hear a prayer for the wicked person. I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother, and I bowed down mourning as one that bewaileth his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. Sounds like Job's situation too, huh? They did tear me and ceased not, like the profane mockers in feasts. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. And I will give thee thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause, for they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful words against them that are quiet in the land. The enemy, if he has a demon within a person, he can use him. And they usually have an hatred for the righteous more than anybody else. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me. They said, "Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it." Thou hast seen it, O Lord, Keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to justice due to me. Amen. Even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their heart, Aha, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be put to shame and confounded together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonored that magnify themselves against me. Well, you know, hey, nothing has really changed, has it? From those days until this, there are crazy people out there. And usually they're people who have come out from among the righteous people. But they have a hatred. She then ran over to her sick husband, all the while looking back over at me with hatred and suspicion. And when she got over to her husband, she put on a very sweet and gentle demeanor, as if she just flipped a switch, and smiling at her husband, picked up the jar of frosting and began spoon-feeding it to him again. And I thought to myself, no wonder he's so sick. And Proverbs 7:21-25 says, With her much fair speech she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forceth him along. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the correction of the fool, till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, and attend unto the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. You know, the word is supposed to be crucifying. It's supposed to put to death sin and the wrong ways, you know. Psalm 12:2-3 says, They speak falsehood, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with double heart do they speak. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaketh great things. I then went over to the husband, whose house we were meeting in, and I told him that I would help him clear out all the trashed out furniture and other things that had become dilapidated and take them to the junkyard and scrapyard. It was the waste that needed to be removed, right? He was thankful for the help and lamented to me about how he'd been given had been trying to clean the place up, but things were falling apart faster than he can fix them or clean them out. There's no repentance there, right? While we were out at the scrapyard, he confessed that he was tired of his wife and the condition that she was in, and he had been struggling with lust and other addictions as well. I watched as the men at the scrapyard weighed out the junk metal we had brought to them on their industrial scales. The husband was able to redeem some of the scrap metal for money, enough to make some repairs to his house. And her note is, we must redeem the times and try to salvage what we've wasted. Amen. When we got back to his house, the meeting was getting ready to start. David and Michael had arrived, and we were all gathering in a line to go into the meeting area. Of course, this is representing those who listen to the broadcast, larger UBM, including local UBM, right? I got in line, and then I saw the crazed, delusional wife of the sick husband cutting in front of the people that were in line behind me and nudging them aside with a determined and bitter look on her face to get right behind me in line. She began to get up in my face again, pointing her finger inches from my nose and making wild and false accusations of me to the others standing by. Then she began letting out an awful-smelling flatulence. I didn't make this up, folks. And everyone around was backing away and repulsed at the smell of it. Well, you know, they are a stench in God's nostrils, and they don't even know it, and they don't believe it because they're very self-righteous. I asked her to please respect people's space, but she kept getting right up into other people's faces with railing and false accusations, and her husband was too weak and sickly to do anything about her behavior. Everyone there was grieved by her behavior. Well, even as all the people who recognize faction are grieved. We were finally all able to get into the meeting room, and there were many silver aluminum picnic tables lined up. As I sat down at one of them, the husband, whose house it was, came up and sat right next to me with his body touching mine, and I knew he was still dealing with lust and other addictions. David sat on top of one of the picnic tables facing the people with his feet resting on the table bench, his elbows on his knees and hands clasped. As he began to speak, his head was bowed and he was somber and grave and seemed disappointed that some behaved in an unruly and rebellious manner because of sin or the toleration of sin amongst those that call themselves brethren. And she says, we don't have much time left to be sanctified. Well, we actually have plenty of time, but not to meet the deadline that the Lord is about to give. Okay. Suddenly I had an open vision of a pair of scales above the scrapyard where we had redeemed the scrap metal, and there was a calendar sheet sitting on the balance of each scale with the number 3 in blue on the left scale, flipping to a blue number 4, and then the calendar sheet on the right scale balanced, flipping to from a red 15 to a red 14. I heard a deep voice behind me say, there are 14 days left to get cleaned up. Did you hear that? There are 14 days left to get cleaned up. Well, this red and blue, you know, I'm sure has a parallel concerning the election. There's a cleaning up going to happen there, the red and the blue, right? And also in the church. So there are 14 days left to get cleaned up. There is still a little time left to redeem the times. Seems to me, in the dream, the countdown started on December the 5th, our last pot blessing. 3 days have passed from the morning of December the 7th when I had this dream. That would put the last day at December 21/22. Representing a separation and division. The deadline is possibly that, a division. We know that there is a division coming, like Claire's dream, you know, of the people who were in shining clothes, no spots and blemishes, you know, seated in heavenly places. And the rest were down there on the field, you know. So this is representing a separation and a division. This could also have some parallel political meaning to it, since the numbers were blue and red. Well, my thought is, will anything physical happen after the 21st/22nd? Or is it only a deadline to decide who will escape judgment? I don't know for sure. I'm kind of leery of dates, but these are astounding confirmations. I wouldn't take any chances if I was you. I would repent and get cleaned up by faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. She said, then the vision ended. And I heard David speak again to us in the dream as I woke up. I asked Father for a word for UBM by faith at random, and my finger was on Mark 10:42. Jesus called them to him. Jesus called them. We've been invited. The word called, kaleo, in the scriptures, means an invitation that he's given to the people of God to come to him, to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. It's not talking about calling to the world to come into Jesus. It's talking about calling to the saints to come to Jesus. Right? And Jesus called them to him. And saith unto them, you know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it's not so among you. Let me tell you, when a person gets a spirit of judgmentalism or faction or Jezebel, or when they get this, they want to rule over you. Did you notice that the people on the left, they can't stand a democracy? Neither can the factious in the church. They don't care what the congregation believes. They are very self-righteous, and they want to force their will and their knowledge upon you. That's what communists do. That's what leftists do. That's what the radical Islam does. Do you notice a common spirit there? Buzz, it is not so among you, but whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister or servant. Same word, right? And whosoever would be first among you shall be servant of all. So God considers the great ones the servers, not the judges, not the ones that point their finger, not the ones that command you to do this or think that they've got authority over you, even though nobody ever ordained them to any position or anything. They have now ordained themselves. And believe it or not, they grab titles that are bigger and bigger. The further crazier they get down the road, the bigger the title they grab. For the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Okay. Now, isn't that interesting? 14 days comes to the 21st or slash 22nd. So, this came to us. Jesus' star of the coming man-child. Okay. Now, Jennifer Dowdy sent this. This year, around December the 21st, likely that entire week, we will see a true wonder that hasn't been seen in 800 years. In fact, you would have to go back to March the 4th, 1226, to see a replica. A Christmas star. Quote, is when Jupiter and Saturn will align so closely and perfectly that a radiant point of light will be seen. The two planets together will look like a double planet and produce a significant amount of light. These two planets haven't appeared this close from the Earth's vantage point since the Middle Ages. They call it the Christmas star. This star is a clear sign, whether we believe in Christmas or not makes no difference. It's a sign to the world and the worldly, but it's a clear sign of, I believe, the coming man-child after the type of Jesus, who said in John 16 that he was coming again as a man-child born to a woman. And we see this in Revelation 12, 1 through 6, happening. And, of course, John said, come up hither, and I will show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter. So it had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, the man-child. It had to do with the second fulfillment. The second that stood up in his stead. Ecclesiastes says, Matthew 2:1-2 says this, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king," who, by the way, tried to kill the man-child, just as they do today, history always repeats, "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star, in the east, and we are come to worship him.'" His star, Jesus' star. It's a sign. I believe it's a symbol also of the coming man-child. And 9:10 says this, "They, having heard the king, went their way, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." The star, identified in this text as the star of Jesus, the man-child, is brightest on December the 21st. The star of Jesus is a merging of Saturn with Jupiter from our vantage point here on Earth. Saturn, I believe, is a type of the flesh here, which will be passing behind Jupiter, the king planet. And this could be a picture of Jesus clothed in flesh, as what the star is all about, is the Lord coming in flesh, right? The star is said to be visible in the region of the constellations of Leo, the Lion of Judah, and Regulus. Regulus is the 21st, there you go, 21st, again, brightest star in the night sky. It's also known as Alpha Leonis, or Lion's Heart, and means Prince or Little King. Pretty neat, huh? What happened after the 21st, possibly beginning on the 22nd, for which we are to be prepared for by sanctifying ourselves, Herod, if you remember, when the star led the wise men to Jesus, right? Herod the Edomite, who had been put in place by the dragon of the Roman Empire, attacked with his Edomite forces God's people, the brethren of Jesus, to destroy them. The Lord has identified the faction in church and state as Edomites, whom God destroyed for being Judases to their own brethren, Israel, the chosen people, representing the church. We have been shown that both factions will attack, but this time we have a sacrifice. The faction forces will attack the cities for the deep state Babylon, and the faction forces who claim to be in the church will attempt to assassinate by slander against the man-child, the people who need the man-child, to separate them from him. This is what it's all about, is the demons in them want to separate the people from the man-child. Devour the man-child, like the dragon, right? We just had a dream that the second in command of the faction against us came amongst us and was bragging of his stalking us and spying on us, and then went on to slander me, but no one was listening. Probably because we all know him as a slanderer, a thief, a liar, and a fornicator. Similar to the situation in the world, right? A parallel, yeah. So these two factions, forces from the dragon of Revelation 12, will be on their way to the Red Sea, northern army, Sennacherib, three armies against Jehoshaphat, and Jerusalem scenarios, as we've been given all of these scenarios to represent this particular time. Something to rejoice, the coming of the man-child, right? Something to rejoice. Well, that's on the 21st again. Very interesting. So I just received this just before the meeting and quickly threw some notes into it. it came right on time, obviously. And we're just calling it, for lack of a better name, December the 18th leads to the 21st. There's that number again. Vanessa Weeks got this on November the 29th, 2020. I had this short dream that I was standing by a table and doing some work. I was hearing the part of the song, God is good all of the time. That goes, God is good, God is good all the time. Well, maybe not quite like that, but you get the idea. Anyway, I knew that something was to happen on December the 18th, and I did not know if it would be good, bad, or what. I was thinking in the dream that December the 18th is 3 days before the start of winter, which is the 21st. And Jesus said that winter was great tribulation, didn't he? Is a great tribulation coming around the 21st, or is that just a deadline for you to be able to escape it? It could be either one. I don't know. The 21st. So, what precedes it on the 18th that could bring a great tribulation to us? Could it be the decision that Trump won the election, bringing the communist anarchists to burn the cities? I don't know. I just put that question before you. It was a thought. As I was praying about this, the Lord said to go to Psalm 18. Like she got December the 18th. Psalm 18, 1 through 6. For the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So David is getting delivered from the hand of his enemies. You know, God gave the apostate, factious Saul and his mighty men over to the Philistines, who killed them. Will the anarchists destroy the apostate enemies of the David man-child on the 21st? I don't know. It was the day of winter, the first day of winter, which is great tribulation. So it could start there. I don't know. Again, a question in my mind. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. In other words, a way to escape the enemy. You know, like the first revelation that we shared of those in the glistening garments who were above the fray, right? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I would do this before the 21st. I wouldn't take a chance. The cords of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. Okay. And I asked the Lord for a word about this dream and received by faith at random Luke 24 and 2, in context 1 through 7. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came unto the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, resurrection day, catching up to the throne of the man-child, Jesus, and of course a type of the end-time man-child, Jesus. And what was there? 3 days. Like from 18 to 21? And it came to pass, while they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they that were affrighted and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise again. So from the 18th to the 21st is 3 days to resurrection of the man-child, Jesus, born in the man-child at the sign of his star on the 21st. Right? The star on the 21st. Okay. You know what we've discovered in Dreams and Revelations, that the resurrection of the man-child is a resurrection to the throne. That's a beginning of his ministry. It's like a birth of the ministry, not necessarily of the physical part of the man-child. Jesus was born, and 30 years later, he was birthed into his ministry, right? And he also walked in death, burial, and resurrection his life in order to start his ministry too. And that's what he commands us to do. He had to be tempted of the devil and overcome him before he started his ministry. And he's tempting some of you. He's tempting you to not submit to the Word of God. Jesus kept hitting the devil with the word. And Jesus was led there by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. You have to overcome temptation before you can have authority. Right? I believe the Lord is saying to remember that he is good all the time, even in the winter, which is tribulation. Ah, she got it. He will deliver us out of the hand of all of our enemies. Thank you, Father, that you roll away the stone when everything looks hopeless, and that is when you resurrect your man-child. I went online to see important events on December the 18th, and these stuck out to me. 1956, the Israeli flag was hoisted on Mount Sinai. The Jews took back their land, like in that situation, like the Christians will take back their land through the Trump presidency. Could this be decided on the 18th? Will the deep state Babylon anarchists arise to strike the apostates on the 21st and then fall at the hands of the Trump presidency with the help of the man-child? Well, look at the confirmation of this principle, even if the date is wrong. Look at the confirmation and look at the sign, right? And I asked the Lord for a confirmation about this and received by faith at random Jeremiah 50 and 33. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, says the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon. That's the deep state. And it's falling. And upon her princes, upon her wise men, a sword is upon the boasters, and they shall become fools. This is a faction. You understand, they're falling. They're liars, slanderers, fornicators, just like the faction in the church. And they're falling to the sword. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. etc. Also, on December the 18th in 2019, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to impeach President Donald Trump for abuse of power. There was one of their attacks, right? And it was stupid. As everybody knew, it was stupid. And it failed in the Senate, so praise be to God. Also on that date in 1956, To Tell the Truth debuts on CBS, which the faction in either camp cannot do, is tell the truth. And when I saw these, I thought, I hope the mainstream media will tell the truth for the first time about their lies and accusations of President Trump. And, of course, the faction against the man-child, too. Father, this is my prayer. Please bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't this awesome? God is just so good. And, well, I don't know, again, about I don't like dates, but I know God does sometimes give dates. And it's a very good possibility, since we got really strong revelations here about this 21st. And I would say be sanctified before the 21st. Anything you need to repent of, do it. Why would you wait anyway? Why would you need a deadline anyway? Some people do need a deadline, by the way. They're procrastinators. They like their sin. They don't want to give it up. You know, it's so easy to confess your sins so that you're cleansed of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7-9, right? It's so easy to do that. You got to admit you're wrong. Proud people don't do that. Arrogant people don't do that. People who want to judge other people don't do that. You see, it's a very strange thing for anybody in the faction to repent. Very strange. They are so given over to demons. And I'm talking about in either camp, in the political or the church, either one, you know. There needs to be repentance. Please call upon the name of the Lord. You haven't lost anything if you come to the 21st and nothing happens. And of course, coming to the 21st might be just the deadline. It may not mean that something's going to happen on the 22nd or the 23rd. It may not mean that. It may mean that God is giving you a deadline to get right so that you can escape judgment. Amen? Well, Lord, we do pray for that. We do pray for everyone listening that they will notice that this is not an accident, all these confirmations of the 21st, 22nd. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you come quickly, that you straighten this out, that that lion coming at the very beginning of this, Lord, was very clear. He was going to straighten it out in a hurry. He was going to take down those black demons. Praise be to God. And it's not a problem for him either. He can stop it anytime he gets good and ready to. But it's going to be him that gets the glory. Thank you, Father, for it. In the name of Jesus, thank you so much for deliverance from your people, from this evil that's come upon us as a nation and this evil that's come upon us in the church. Thank you, Father, for your awesome deliverance. We praise and we give thanks unto you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, grant repentance to everyone under the sound of my voice. Grant grief for sin. Lord, put it in their heart to desire of you any kind of correction whatsoever. Ask them to ask of you to bring correction to them. You can do it by word. You can do it by dream. You can do it by prophecy. You can do it by words from the Word of God. You can do it in many ways, Lord, through their conscience, whatever. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, grant repentance to those who want to escape judgment. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Course 22 is a sign of division and judgment, isn't it? 2 is the first number of division. And so the Lord is dividing and separating from his church all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity, right? He's doing that. He says so. And it's happening. We've been watching it. God's just saying there's a deadline. The revelation was the last battle is upon us. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for all you do and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. We'll do this again sometime. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.